Dov Zakheim is former Undersecretary of Defense Comptroller, talking about his top three for 2013. Before we get to the three individual things on your list, Dov, you're mentioning that all three of these are driven by additional budget cuts, even if there's no sequester. Do you think that the entire defense community, including the industrial base, is finally reconciled to the fact that budgets are going down for the foreseeable future, that this isn't just a blip on the screen?
Well, I think so. We've had an election. We've got a president who clearly wants to cut the defense budget some more. Perhaps had Plan B worked last night, which, as I recall, exempted defense. There might have been some rethinking on the part of everybody. But Plan B failed. And so what's on the table is a sequester or alternately something along the lines of what Senator Levin has proposed, which is $10 to $15 billion, if I'm not mistaken, per year of cuts. So, to say that there just won't be any more cuts beyond the Gates cuts, $487 billion, I just think I'd love to see no more cuts, but I'm afraid that that's just not going to be the way it works.
The first item on your list of the top three for 2013 is a major push for military retirement reform. What do you expect to see, and how does that fit with what you think is a reasonable approach to that issue?
Well, as you know, the Senate in its bill put forward a plan for a compensation and retirement modernization commission. The House accepted it in conference, but with one major, major difference, which is it will not be treated like the base realignment and closure approach, the BRAC, which is essentially take it or leave it, vote up or down. Congress can choose to ignore the recommendations. Congress can amend. So it wouldn't be as straightforward. But nevertheless, they've accepted the idea of a commission, and if they put this commission together quickly with senior people who are recognized as clearly supporters of the military, I would say hopefully chaired by somebody senior who is retired four-star probably, then I think you've got a chance of seeing at least a commission report completed this year and maybe even legislation in time for the fiscal 14 budget. And obviously any changes in retirement would have to affect people coming in. Obviously, with people in the field still being shot at, you don't want anybody out there thinking that we're going to mess with their retirement. That would be unjust and unfair and uncalled for.
Is this a process that you think can be worked through in 2013, or is this just the beginning of a long, drawn-out process that may not see a conclusion for some time?
Well, again, it depends on what we see happening in terms of budget cuts. If you adjust, there are lots of ways to adjust the retirement system. It isn't just a matter of saying, oh, instead of retiring after 20 years, you retire after 25 or something like that. Remember, there are mechanisms for calculating retirement, and you can make adjustments to those. And one estimate I saw was that if you did that, because of the nature of accruals, that is to say, every year you have to pay in for retirement, that is to say, the government does, the accrual accounting could save you as much as $10 billion in the first year. Now, I don't know if you would save as much as that, but we're talking significant figures here. The more there's a budget crunch, the more I think there'll be pressure to try to resolve this one, which could be a lot easier than, for example, really messing around with a defense health program or with some of the other benefits that Congress has voted to our military.
And it seems that benefits or the compensation package overall really has to be where Congress goes in the wake of Secretary Gates's statement about it. He was talking specifically about health care costs, but eating the department alive.
Well, it is eating the department alive, but you just saw that Congress decided it really didn't want to mess with health care this time around. And so I think there's a feeling on the Hill, and there's some justification for it. You don't mess with the benefits that might in any way affect the morale of our young men and women in the field. And with retirement, because it's far off, because it could be made very, very clear that this has nothing to do with anybody who signed up until now, it might be easier to manage than, say, health care.
Number two on your top three for 2013 is a change in the orientation of the Army. What are you referring to there specifically, Dov?
Well, after Vietnam, we kind of all forgot all about counterinsurgency, as if it didn't exist. And we're out of Iraq. Who knows what will happen in Afghanistan? The administration, in my view, needs to negotiate a status of forces agreement which would protect our military from Afghan judiciary processes. We need to do that as soon as possible. And if that doesn't happen, and if we get into the situation we were in with Iraq where we didn't get one of these agreements, we're going to have to pull our people out. Now, if that happens, and in any event, even if it doesn't happen, but we take most of our people out, there's going to be a reaction, and I'm already sensing it in the Army, that we need to move a little bit away from counterinsurgency and the kinds of things that we've done up to now. And in fact, the Army's been pretty explicit about that, that they're not going to stay in the nation-building business and all that sort of thing. Well, you can overreact. We overreacted after Vietnam, and we need to have a balanced approach to this thing. Counterinsurgency should not dominate Army thinking by any stretch of the imagination. We shouldn't fight the last war or the war we're fighting now next time. But you don't abandon it, because history has told us that whenever we try to ignore something, it comes back to bite us.
Dov Zakheim's the former Undersecretary of Defense Comptroller, and talking about his list of the top three for 2013 as part of our special feature. The third item is a major effort to reform defense acquisition. The Levin-McCain bill was the last attempt to do that, and we still see some of the same problems of GAO reporting that those reforms haven't really taken effect in many cases, that they haven't been integrated into the acquisition process. What do you expect to see as the next effort to try to reform the way the Pentagon acquires things?
Well, I suppose I'm trying to transmit a message to the new secretary, and if Mr. Carter moves on to another job, say a cabinet-level position, the new deputy secretary as well. We cannot afford to allow this crazy acquisition system, for which we've already created a rapid acquisition system to get around our normal acquisition system, if you can believe. We cannot afford to let this go on. And with any, even with the current budget cuts, forgetting about the sequester or any other additional cuts, we know that with military personnel accounts essentially protected, with operations and maintenance counts having to be protected, it's going to be procurement and research and development that takes the big hit. And we simply cannot afford this as a nation. So I think this ought to be at the top of the agenda of the new secretary. And if Mr. Carter moves on, of the new deputy secretary, if he stays, it's already pretty high on his agenda. But it has to be the secretary's agenda, and it has to be one that he doesn't let, or she doesn't let go of. Because we simply have got to do something about this if we want to be able to acquire new systems and stay ahead of our potential adversaries. I mean, there's just no way around it.
The rapid acquisition system to get around the standard acquisition system, I guess the question I've seen batted around town is, why don't we just adopt the rapid acquisition system?
Well, in part because it's driven by the operational needs of the commanders in the field. And when you look at longer-term projects, whether it's a bomber, whether it's new naval forces, whether it's a new army system, that isn't driven by the need to get something out there ASAP. And so what happens is that with these larger complex weapon systems that are longer-term projects, we just fall into this massive bureaucratic nightmare or trap, and everything takes forever. We just can't afford to do that anymore.